I wonder how many times we've taken for granted the access we have to the Word. How many Bibles I have, even in my own house, and some people have none. And how precious the Word of God is. I remember hearing a story years ago in Russia where they were under great persecution. And if they were caught with a Bible, they would be tortured and imprisoned, and sometimes put to death. And they would hide just little pieces of scripture pages in potatoes and in any way they could try to hide them, conceal them. And then they would take the potatoes as they eat them, and they would read a portion of scripture, and you know, and in some cases, you know, they'd be discovered. You know, they'd come in and they would completely dismantle the house and look for Bibles. And I remember reading about Richard Wurmbrand, who spent many years, I think it was about 14 years, in solitary confinement. And he wrote a book called Tortured for Christ. And the price that he paid for distributing the Word of God, the Bibles, into Russia and Romania. But they understood the value of God's Word. Glenn is representing an organization that has been instrumental in reaching multitudes by simply making the Word of God available to them. Amen. That sometimes we take for granted. They rely upon you and I and others to support their ministry. So I want you to pray about that. Amen. As to how you could help them as well. You never know that the Bible that you buy. How much are the Bibles for one Bible now? About $5 for Gideon Bible. And we have them actually. We have a bunch of them that we usually put out on the pews. So even $5, I mean, would buy a Bible that could potentially be another Ravi Zacharias, you know. But how much, what price can you put on a soul? You know, how valuable is one person to the Lord? Well, he shed his blood, didn't he? He shed his blood for us because that's how precious and how valuable we were to him, and we are. So think about that, pray about that, and here's an opportunity. If you want to make a wise investment, invest in the Word of God, amen? Invest in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Before we launch into this, I'd like us just to pray one more time. Holy Father in heaven, we thank you for this moment, this opportunity to be here today. And Father, we know that you are the true bread. Lord, you came that we might have life and life more abundantly. And we pray today, Lord, that you would feed us with manna from on high. Lord, impart, Lord, nourishment to our souls. Strengthen our spirit. Renew our minds, Lord, today. Revive our hearts. Wake us up inside, I pray, Lord God. We pray for your will to be accomplished today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we got to be careful about what we meditate on, what we think on, what we dwell on. The message that we're getting continually through the media is negativity, hopelessness. And I believe that we need to be aware, but we should not be living in fear. And we shouldn't dwell on these things until it becomes a problem for us. Are you hearing me? I find that if I hang around negative people long enough, I end up being negative. Isn't that right? If a person has a pessimistic view of everything, and when you get around them, all they can do is find out and discover and point out what's wrong, what's broken. I remember our bishop came a couple of years back and preached a message, what's right with the church? You know, there's certainly a lot we can find, I mean, that's wrong. And even in our own personal lives, if we're honest, every one of us has some quirk or some fault or some weakness or something that we're dealing with. And if you think otherwise, we need to have an altar call and we'll pray over you that God will give you the revelation. So we're all in this together. We're somewhere along the journey. But when you have the Spirit of the Lord in you, you have a new heart, a new desire, and you can no longer be comfortable in the things that you used to delight yourself in. You have what we call a new normal. So the title of this message is Be Sober and Be Vigilant. And that's based in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, the devil is real. One of the biggest lies of Satan is that he doesn't exist. And there are people, even so-called Christians, that don't believe in an actual devil. There are actually people that claim to be Christians that don't even believe in a literal hell. I don't know what Bible they're reading. They're certainly not reading a Gideon's Bible, right? But his primary weapon, the devil's primary weapon, is lies. He lies to us. He speaks lies. He's the father of lies, Jesus said. He uses lies to try to get us to doubt God's word, to doubt what God said. He uses lies even to try to get us to doubt who we are in Christ. He uses lies to get us to doubt God's goodness. And he uses lies in an attempt to get us to believe that what he says is true and that what God says is false. In other words, what we're seeing today, it's pretty obvious, is we're seeing those who are calling evil good and good evil. Everything is reversed. The things that were obviously evil are now being celebrated. And things that are good are being despised, are being hated. To be sober primarily means to abstain from wine or intoxicants, drugs, okay? But it also means to be serious-minded, to take a realistic approach to life. So we need to be sober, serious-minded, and take a realistic approach to life. Now, we know that truth is what's real, what's authentic, right? And so we need to be intelligent concerning the tricks of Satan. We have a real adversary. And I know sometimes we just think we're so smart, but the devil is actually smarter than we are, apart from Christ. If you are in Christ and you have the Spirit of the Lord in you, then you have the mind of Christ, and you can know the things that are freely given to you in Christ, and you can overcome the lies or the deception of the enemy through the knowledge of the truth. Can you say amen? And so the devil wants to keep you from discovering what is true. He wants to keep you and I from reading and meditating, thinking on, dwelling on, like the brother was talking about. He began to meditate on the word. Ravi Zacharias talked about pursuing truth, that he was going to make it his life's goal to learn to know what is authentic, what is real, what is true. Because all of us have been deceived. We've all believed something that was a lie, thinking it was a truth. Now, an army officer studies how to defeat his enemy. And if he doesn't take his job seriously, it can mean certain defeat on the battlefield. So you need to understand what your enemy is about. What are his tricks? What are his tactics? And we need to read, amen, the book, the word, to know how to defeat our enemy. That's why the word of God is called the sword of the Spirit. It is the sword that we must use, amen, strategically to take out our enemy. We expel his lies with truth. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he used what? The word of God. He spoke the word of God and defeated Satan. To be vigilant means to be prepared and ready. So we need to be serious-minded, but we also need to be prepared and ready to meet every attack of the enemy, because he waits for us. He observes us. He is crafty, as you know. He's subtle. And he looks for an opportunity. He studies your life. He studies my life. And he knows what we're doing. I mean, you know that's true. He knows if you're not in the Word. He knows if you're not in fellowship. He knows if you're not in prayer. He knows where your mind's at. Because in many cases, he's trying to influence your thought life. And he knows when we are entertaining his thoughts rather than God's thoughts. And we will entertain the lie if we do not know what the truth is. You will be deceived if you do not have the knowledge of God. Not, am I deceived, but where am I deceived in my life? So he's powerful and he's intelligent. I hear some preachers mock him and call him stupid. I think that's stupid. To underestimate your enemy. We are no match for him. Amen? But the devil is no match for Jesus. And if we have Jesus, you and Jesus together, amen, are a force to be reckoned with. And that's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. So when Jesus arrived in the region of the Gadarenes, remember he encountered this demon-possessed man? The demons identified him as themselves as legion because there were so many. This man was completely crazy, out of his mind, full of the devil. And in Matthew 8:29, it says, suddenly, when Jesus showed up, how many know that God's presence irritates the devil? That's why we need to be people of his presence. If you're not experiencing or encountering any opposition in your life, you need to question whether you're really walking in the Spirit or not. Somebody say amen. And what have we to do with you? They said, Jesus, you Son of God, have you come here to torment us before our time? You and I don't have the strength in ourselves to oppose him. It's only through our faith and our dependence on the Lord that we can resist the devil. And you know, guys, I think too often we as Christians are living in defensive mode, where we're always on the defense. Oh, the devil's after me again. Are you hearing me? How you doing, brother? Oh, the devil. Jesus is on the throne. Amen. I'm blessed and highly favored, right? And deeply loved. God with me. Amen. So who can be against me? But sometimes, you know, we can get devil phobic, and I'm not suggesting that we do that. We need to be aware that we have a real adversary that is real. Amen. He's certainly on the hunt, but we should not be living as God's people who have been authorized by Jesus himself to destroy the works of the devil, to live a life in defensive mode. We should be on the offensive. That's why God wants us to first settle things and get right with him and repent of our sin and renounce our sinful ways, turn to Jesus that we might receive his forgiveness and receive the impartation of his Holy Spirit, who will empower and enable us to overcome our adversary and mess up him instead. When Jesus showed up, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And as Jesus left, he said, guys, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you to go in my name, in my place, in my stead, and represent me in the earth. And I want you to continue where I left off. I'll give you my Holy Spirit to empower you. Amen. In Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive what power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my martyrs and my witnesses. Amen. We cannot be a witness for Jesus apart from the power of God. Amen. We must rely upon him, put our faith in him, and together with Jesus, we will be victorious. Why? He's already overcome. The winner's with us. Hallelujah. Now, the devil is able to disguise himself quite well. And he appears in different forms. And in Genesis, we see him appearing in the form of what? A serpent, right? So he's a snake. So sometimes he comes like a snake, doesn't he? He's very subtle. Don't underestimate. In Genesis 3:1, it says, the serpent was more cunning or crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. So snakes are masters at stealth. That's why people get bit sometimes by them, because if you're walking, you know, in the brush or in the woods, they're able to sometimes blend in to their surroundings. And if you're not paying attention, come on, somebody, you can end up stepping on a snake and getting bit. So they know how to blend into their environment. And it really takes a trained eye to be able to spot a snake in the wild. That, ever watch any of those shows where they go out hunting for snakes? And some of these guys are experts at that. They know what to look for and how to spot them. So likewise, we need to watch out for that snake because he's cunning. And so what we need to do is pray for discernment. Pray that God will give us eyes to see. Amen? So that we can see clearly, so that we'll be able to spot, amen, the enemy when he appears. Many people are duped by the enemy because they do not recognize it's the enemy. You know, the devil with the blue dress on. So we see cartoons, these music videos, even halftime, you know, at the games, full of the occult, full of subtleties. A message is being presented. They're trying to get people to follow Lucifer. And a lot of people just think, oh, that's just a cool song, cool entertainment. But if you have discernment, you're able to realize that, wait a minute, that's satanic. That's not God. God's not in that. As a matter of fact, God never exalts man to godhood. Amen. There's only one God that we worship. We're not to have any other gods before him. Amen. People are making gods out of celebrities. And so the enemy uses that as an idol to infest them, to take control of them, so that he can destroy that person. You see, the devil will do favors for people for a season. And that's why he's attractive, because he will offer you something that your lust, that you will lust after. I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. I'll make you rich. You can have all the sex you want. And so people bite off onto that apple. They believe that lie. They go after that, thinking that this is somehow going to fulfill them, whereas the enemy is simply just setting them up to entrap them, to destroy them. How many people's lives have been destroyed? And it started out with just little compromises. Just little sins. You know, when I was a kid, it was starting out smoking cigarettes with my buddies because I wanted to be cool. Cool. I wanted to fit in. And if we don't understand our identity and who we are and who God says we are, and we don't see value in ourselves, then we're going to seek value from other people. We're going to look to man to validate us rather than God. And we're going to end up compromising what we know in our heart. Even when we're children, God gives you a certain amount of light and understanding to know there's just certain things you don't do. It's like the girl they caught shoplifting. Well, I didn't know that was wrong. Yeah. Sometimes the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. He's attempting to deceive people in the spiritual realm as well. And he appears sometimes in a pretty package. You know? A sexy witch sometimes will infiltrate churches and try to seduce the pastors, the leadership. Sometimes people will come in as a breath of fresh air, the most spiritual people you'll encounter. Oh, certainly they'd make a good board member because they're looking to get in. See, the devil's intelligent and he knows how to fool people. If we don't have discernment, if we don't have our eyesight clear, we're not going to see clearly. You see, if our vision is obscured because of compromise with sin, we're not going to be able to discern what is true from that which is false. What happened to Samson when he compromised? At first, he got away with it. He was still moving in the anointing. He was still kicking Philistine butt, amen? Until all of a sudden the day came when he went to shake himself like he always did after he'd been in the lap of Delilah. He'd been in compromise, amen? And he didn't realize until that time that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. And what was the first thing the enemy did? Come on, somebody. He plucked his eyes out. Blind you. The devil is seeking to blind you through sin, through compromise, so that you cannot discern. You cannot tell the difference between right and wrong. That's why we need the knowledge of God. We need to know what God says, amen, in His Word. So we'll know whether what I'm allowing in my life is acceptable or not. I need the Spirit and the Word working together. Our cartoons the children are watching are full, you know, of garbage. And yet many parents, they don't have any discernment either. They don't even realize that they're allowing their children to watch stuff that's demonic and destructive. The devil attempts to make something vile appear beautiful. Remember watching Snow White and that beautiful candy apple? I mean, even when I would look at the book when I was a kid, I'd think, man, that candy apple does look pretty good. It's one of my favorites, too, you know, the red apples, you know, with a hard candy shell. But that's how the devil does it. He baits you with something that appears to be lovely. There's a beautiful side to evil, as someone once said. So he may also appear as an angel, a beautiful angel. Some people think just because it looks beautiful and it's an angel, it must be from God. Isn't that what happened to Joseph Smith? He supposedly had an encounter with an angel called Moroni. He was going to show him the way. And I remember back in the day, just before my conversion, I was looking into some of the New Age stuff, and Jay-Z Knight said that she had an encounter with a beautiful angel about 9 feet tall. And his name is Ramtha, the Enlightened One. And he was there to help her through. No question. No discernment. Hook, line, and sinker went after this thing. Do you understand? There's a reason why God hates sin, because of its destructive nature. Because sin gives the devil access to you so that he can then blind you and deceive you to believe a lie as though it were something that was true. That's what drugs do. Drugs offer you something, amen, that say this is going to make you. This is going to, you're going to feel good. You're going to feel like a god after you take this. Of course, like the old song goes, spinning wheel, what goes up must come down. And when you come down harder than you went up. You might have floated up, but when you come down, you come crashing down. And then you realize that was dumb. Well, at least we hope we realize that that was dumb. But I know it took the light of God to cause me to realize that the things that I was doing were awful. They were destructive. It was filthy. It was dirty. It was wrong. Because up until that time, before I had the revelation, before I had the Lord reveal to me who I was and where I was at and how my heart really was, I thought I was doing pretty good. I thought everybody else was the problem. Anybody else been there before? That's what we see going on right now in the street. It's the blame game. I'm not the problem. They're the problem. We all need to take responsibility. Why? Because the day is coming when every knee will bow to Him, Jesus Christ. Amen. The day is coming when people will stand judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. But God gives us an opportunity to be saved, to be forgiven, to have a brand new beginning. Hallelujah. A new start is called the new birth. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. You know, there was a time when I sang that song, but didn't know what it really meant. You know, a lot of people will sing that song at a funeral. The real question is, do you know Him that the song is referring to? Are you really alive in Christ? Have your eyes been opened to realize what is true? So the devil, remember when I was a kid, Casper the Friendly Ghost? What a subtle way to deceive children. Because you know what the devil will do? He'll transform into Casper and appear to a child. So that child makes a friend with a demon. Oh, yes. You know, if you notice in the New Age, which is nothing more than an old lie with a different package, but everything is always beautiful rainbows and unicorns and beautiful colors and flowers and everything that appears to be pretty, hyper pretty. You ever notice in Hinduism, all their gods and the deities are just extremely brilliant and colorful and attractive? Well, I don't know. Some are. I even think about the casino when you go by the casino. It can be dark and rainy outside, but everything is so pretty and beautiful and brilliant, and it's like a moth to a lamp. The devil's a liar. He's baiting you. He's drawing you in because he's a thief. People's lives have been destroyed. Families have been ruined through gambling. I'm going to say it. It's a trap. And at the root of it is covetousness. I want to be rich, and I want to get rich quick. Sometimes the devil's a roaring lion. He's bent on terrorizing God's people through fear and persecution. Guys, we see the enemy roaring in the streets, using fear and intimidation. He's trying to get people to bow down through fear and intimidation. There are people that are joining in causes because they don't want to be ostracized. They don't want to be rejected. And sometimes people get involved in causes that deep down inside they don't even really agree with, but they can't stand to be rejected. And the fear of rejection will cause them to do things that normally they wouldn't do. So the enemy tries to intimidate God's people even to do things that we know deep down inside are not right. This coronavirus thing has so many people terrorized and fearful. And in some cases, they've just stopped living. They're so afraid of catching something. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life, life more abundantly. And the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I'm not saying be foolish, be reckless. I'm saying that the enemy is a liar and he's a thief and he's manipulating people, controlling people through the media and getting people into fear, that he's magnifying and exaggerating something way beyond what it really is. And I believe that with every fiber in me. That's what's going on. We've got to overcome the attacks, the lies, the fear of the enemy, and we got to quit entertaining it in our mind. Otherwise, the enemy will magnify himself bigger than he really is. Hallelujah. How do we resist this devil? Through prayer, by the power of God and the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will give us boldness. 1 Peter 5:8 says, the devil seeking whom he may devour. That word devour means to drink down, that is, gulp entire, devour, drown, or swallow up. I think about my dog Cookie when she eats. Now, Precious, we have two dogs, Precious, they're all 7-8 pounds, both of them. Precious is very dignified. She just approaches her, and she's kind of like, she licks it, and she kind of gingerly comes after her food and eats it, you know, kind of. But Cookie, when you put that down, she's tearing it up. Gulp, 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 gulp. You know? And I get that picture sometimes where the enemy is looking for somebody to just gulp down. Amen? To just swallow you whole. He has no mercy. He wants to take you and I out. Our adversary is real, but our God is real. The enemy has power, but our God is all-powerful. The enemy is intelligent, but our God is all-knowing. Amen? He is the name above all names. El Elyon, the Most High God. And we need to put our confidence and our faith and our God, amen, who is greater than all of our enemies. Hallelujah. We don't have to be afraid if God is with us. Hallelujah. That's right. We are not to have any fear because God is with us. Amen. Hallelujah. And guys, just like I said earlier, fear, worry is illegal. Make up your mind. You're not going to be subject to it. You're not going to bow down to fear. Amen. I'm not talking about common sense fear. Look both ways before you cross the street, okay? I'm just talking about allowing the enemy to so exaggerate things around you to the, where you begin to take on a spirit of fear that will shut you down in a place of self-preservation. And if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. God wants us out of the box, amen? Everybody seems to be coming out of the closet these days. How about the church come out of the closet? How about God's people come out for Jesus, amen? And let your light so shine before men. And even though there's going to be a conflict, there's going to be contrast, people are not going to like you. But God has His people, amen? And He's got His angels on assignment with us. And greater is He that's with us and in us than He that's in the world. Come on, there are many more with us than there are against us. Where iniquity abounds, grace much more abounds. If God be for us, come on, who? You see the word of the sword of the Spirit. The enemy hates it when you speak the promises of God because it cancels out His assignment. How do you cancel out a curse with a blessing? You don't curse back, you bless back and cancel the curse. That's what Jesus taught us. So we do not have the strength or wisdom in ourselves to defeat this adversary. And that's why we must pray. And that's why we must know the Word of God. Guys, I'm hoping to stir you up, amen, to study, to learn, to know the Word. 2 Corinthians 10:4, how many know this one well? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, of human origin, but mighty in God for the pulling down strongholds, right? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience, what, of Christ. How many know that word stronghold? You should know it by now, amen? It means a fortified castle. All right? That's why they used to make these strong castles, amen, built of stone, amen, so that the enemy could not penetrate and the people within the castle could be protected by its great walls. Are you hearing me, somebody? So God is our strong tower, our deliverer. He's our fortified castle. He's our place of refuge, amen, and strength. Hallelujah. But the enemy is also looking for a place of security for himself. He's looking for a place to hang out and be protected. And he knows that he cannot do that unless we give him permission. Unless we allow him access through compromise, through sin, through doing what we know is wrong, by willfully choosing to disobey God, we're giving Him permission to come in to access us and to find a place of security, because what He wants to do is find somebody who's going to say, it's only a little sin. Oh, I look at a little pornography once in a while. I smoke a joint once in a while. I sleep around a little bit, but I'm not like that whore down the road. Are you hearing me, somebody? He said, devil says, I'm not asking for the whole thing. I just want you to give me a little crack in the door. I just want you to compromise a little bit here. Just give me a permission to get my foot in, like the salesman. Next thing you know, he's barging in. Do you understand We've got to take these thoughts captive that disagree with God's thought, with His mind, with His heart, with His character, His nature. And you're not going to know that without the Spirit, amen, and the Word working together in you, amen. You need to be a person of prayer. We need to be people of prayer so that we can know the mind of Christ. You and I are no match for this adversary. We're not smart enough. We're not clever enough to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's why we need Jesus. Come on, somebody. That's why we need to rely upon the power of God, and we need to be people of His presence. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need oil in our lamps so that, amen, the enemy has no place in us. Give no place to the devil, but fully yield to the Lord. Let Him fill your life. The Word of God, the name of Jesus, and the Word of our testimony. That's one of our spiritual weapons. Amen. We declare what God has done in our lives and how He set me free. How that man was talking about how God had met him in that jail cell. Amen. And created a new creation right there. Made him a new person. Hallelujah. He's declaring what God has done. Hallelujah. And what when we hear that, it produces hope in our hearts. Or maybe we can identify and say, yeah, I was like that man. And now look what God has done in my life. Now, if God helped him, He can help me too. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We declare what God did what then, and it releases what He did then into the now. The word of our testimony. Hallelujah. And the means or ways of using these weapons is through prayer, through praise. Come on, somebody. How many here praise the Lord outside of church? How many know that praise is toxic to the devil? Yes. How about preaching? Amen. How can a person know how to be saved unless they hear the message of the gospel? Somebody needs to be sent and somebody needs to obey God and tell people, amen, that there is a salvation available to them. There is healing. There's deliverance available to them in Jesus Christ. There's new life available to them. And again, our sharing of our testimony. It defeats the enemy. Guys, it's very important that you and I remember, like it was Ravi Zacharias, he would go back to that place and he would reflect. He went back to the old landmark and he remembered what the Lord had done for him. It's almost like he's being recalibrated again. Keep in perspective. You know, sometimes we can forget what the Lord has done. Go back sometimes and revisit that time when you first came to the Lord, when you heard His voice, or when you were drawn by His Spirit, and when you received that shower on the inside and your sins were forgiven, and how wonderful life is in Christ, and revisit those places. That's why songs our testimonies. We hear a song sometimes and it brings us back to a place and a time and an experience, and it renews us, it revives us, restores us. Amen. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you can go back and listen to a certain song that will bring you, it'll recalibrate your life. Praise is huge. It's important that we give thanks in all things and that we give God praise. Hallelujah. The Bible says to resist him. The devil, that means stand against or oppose. It didn't say be passive and hope he goes away. Guys, I got so much to say, and I know we don't have time for it all today, but I want to say this, and I've said this many times before, but the devil is intelligent. Okay. And he knows if he comes to you, and he doesn't have a sucker. He doesn't have somebody that's going to just bow down and listen or cower to him in fear. But if he comes to you with a temptation and he realizes that you have drawn the line in the sand, that you are going to resist him, you're not giving him any more opportunity to destroy you or your family, you're standing in the gap. The devil knows if you are willing to stand your ground, having done all to stand and say no more. No more drugs. No more immorality. Amen? No more compromise. I've drawn the line in the sand. I'm standing my ground, and Christ is in me. Hallelujah. Amen. And greater is the one that's in me than he that's in the world. When the devil realizes that you're not going to crack, that you're not going to bend, you're not going to bow. Amen. You're not going to yield. He will leave you alone. Hello? Resist the devil and he will. So you got to overcome that temptation. Deal with it in its infancy. Deal with it when it first comes into your mind. And quit entertaining it. Oh, wouldn't it be really good to go smoke a joint right now? God delivered me from alcohol and drugs and stupid stuff I was doing before. And now, of course, the devil has conveniently moved the alcohol into the grocery store. So you don't have to go to the liquor store. You get to look at it when you walk in. And isn't it interesting that all that liquor is dressed up in the prettiest bottles? It just looks so enticing. And so I should have listened the first time I drank. I remember the first time I had, actually don't tell anybody, it was moonshine. Some guy gave my dad, and whenever I'd get a really bad cough, and I was a little kid, my dad would say, come here. I didn't even know what it was. Well, I knew it was nasty. But it made me feel all warm inside. So I let's go down. Come here, son. Take a shot of this. Yeah, you went back to sleep all right. I don't look so sanctified out there today. But the thing is this, is that it was nasty. It was like, name your poison. You go to a bar, just name your poison. What's your poison? We'll just dress it up in a pretty little cup. We'll put some sugar on it and dress it up with an olive or whatever you like and make it look attractive to you. First time you're smoking, it's like your lungs are saying, no! What are you thinking? There's a reason. If we would deal with stuff in its infancy, right? Get a hold of it and say, wait a minute. If I open this door, the enemy's going to come in. And guess what? The more that I compromise, the more he's going to bring with him. He's going to bring his buddies with him. And the latter end will be worse than it was in the beginning. That's why we need to repent. We need to decide, make up our mind, who we're going to serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm happy in Jesus. I am a free man today. I have no desire to get drunk, to get high. I don't need it. Amen. If you want to get high, you need to experience the Most High God. Hallelujah. He'll give you a peace that passes you, that blows your mind. Amen. He'll give you a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. And a perfect love that casts out all fear. Hallelujah. Life is good in the God zone. Get into the zone with Jesus. Amen. And you don't need the inferior stuff of the world. Take those thoughts captive. Realize the source. Run to Jesus and find your fulfillment in him. I'm going to finish with this. The devil's simply wanting you to accept him as the one who satisfies you. He wants to meet that need of your heart. And yet you'll find that he never does. He never does. God alone can meet the deepest longing of your heart. He satisfies your soul like none other. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your word today. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus, and we appreciate all that you've done, all you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the strength that we need when we call upon you. Thank you, Lord, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for being faithful and true. That is who you are, God. Hallelujah. Father, today I pray salvation. Salvation, healing, and deliverance for everyone. Hallelujah. God's been drawing you. God's been inviting you into his fellowship. God wants you to experience his goodness, his superior goodness. God wants you to have real joy. Maybe you've never really had joy. You've never really known what real peace is in your life. God is inviting you into his fellowship. God is inviting you into his peace today. That you might experience real joy. That you may know real love. And in Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." Would you give God that opportunity today? Would you say, "Lord, I've made a mess of my life. I've tried to fill myself up on all kinds of things, and nothing ever really satisfies me. But Lord Jesus, I want you to make yourself real to me. I want to know you." Even as that man had said as he prayed, "God, if you're real, I want you to reveal yourself to me." Ask the Lord to do that. "Lord, make yourself known to me. Reveal yourself to me. Lord, I want to know this life that you speak of. I want to know your peace. I want to know your joy. God, I want you to make me whole. I want you to heal me. Lord, I want you to deliver me. God, I want you to set me free from all of these besetting sins and these habits and these things that I know displease you. Lord, I'm giving you access to me, and I'm inviting you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. I'm asking you to forgive me for my sins. Lord, I repent this day. I turn away from darkness. I turn away from the occult. I turn away from darkness. I turn away from drugs and alcohol. I turn away from me. And I look to you. And I ask you, Jesus, to save me. Turn my life around. And plant my feet on solid ground. Have a way. Have your way with me, Lord. God of gods, Most High God. So, Father, today, I pray that your shalom, your peace, will rest upon every one of us as we go our separate ways today. Lord, I pray that your will be accomplished in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.